The heavens of glory do declare the sizes and the works deep. Day after day their speech pours forth, and knowledge night after night. There in those deeds or spoken words, their voice is never heard. And yet their voice spreads through all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. The heavens attend for the song he made, which comes forth like a bridegroom, leaving his chamber glowing bright to run his course with joy. On and his rising is its circuit to its end. And there is nothing from his deeds, no, nothing is hidden thereof. The law that is a perfect law for it covers the soul. Sure are the sayings of Elohim, they make the simple eyes stand right and just, and do rejoice the heart. Your sons and maidens are pure and clear, and guide to the mind they impart.
Amen. It's a beautiful song. Light to the mind they impart, the words of Elohim. Happy Sabbath, brethren. We will just move straight forward with our teaching in the book of Acts. Last Sabbath, we did Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. And what we saw there was that in verses 1 of chapter 19, we saw that the Spirit of Elohim coordinated the work of his servants. He did that. We saw that. We won't go to the details, but that's what we saw. And anyone who missed it could just review that to see that how he coordinates the work of his servants. Verse 2-7 gave us a second example of how the Spirit is not automatically given at water baptism, as many groups would try to convince people, as if, okay, you get baptized and that's it. No, these examples shown in Acts chapter 19, verses 2-7, show that doesn't happen. It can happen, but it's not something that's automatic. There are times, for one reason or another, if the person that's being baptized is not ready in one thing, whether it's faith, whether it's their state of repentance, whether it's having the right person to baptize them, it's not going to happen. The Spirit will not be given to them. These conditions must be there. And it's very important for us. And what else? We saw in verses 8-10, it showed how Paul always goes to the synagogue, how Paul always went to the synagogue and to share the word, and how he began to withdrew, how he withdrew those who believed from those who were against the word of Elohim, against the way of Elohim. So that's what we saw. But a little bit more about the matter of the Spirit, as it's very important about receiving the Spirit. We, after the message, encouraged by a question from our sister Rose on the process of receiving the Holy Spirit, it was stated that the apostles did baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Spirit, as Messiah taught them, although that detail was not necessarily stated in the scriptures. But we know that Elohim would not do something unless, in other words, would not fulfill their request to provide the Holy Spirit to those being baptized unless they were doing it in the way Messiah taught, that it should be done in the name, in the authority of the Son and Son and, I'm sorry, in the name of the, and authority of the Father, Son, and the Spirit. So, also Brother Felix pointed out that, we need to ask that today, given that we see more false teachers, more false or false prophets than true ones. You know, I personally have never met a person that I can say had the power of the Spirit in them. I've been a believer for many years, and I've never met a person, never heard, whether in person or or through the TV or any type of media that show the evidence of the Spirit in them, although they may claim that. So what that means is it may be very difficult to find such a person, but we don't need to worry because, as Felix cited in Luke chapter 11, verse 13, we can ask, the Messiah asked and said that he will give, that Elohim will give the Spirit to those who ask him. So yes, we can confidently ask in prayer to receive the Spirit of Elohim, as long as we take the necessary steps of repentance, believing in the gospel, in the good news, having that right faith, and being baptized in the water by the person, by a suitable person, even if they do not have the authority to transmit the Spirit, as we saw. Philip did not have that authority, even though he was full of the Spirit himself. The Spirit did great signs and wonders through him, yet he was not authorized to give, to lay hands and give the Spirit. So today, it might be the case. We could find suitable people who have repented of their sins, they're faithful, but may not be authorized to give the Spirit. So what do? We need to ask. We ask in faith and in earnestness, and the Elohim will give us the Spirit, as Messiah said in Luke chapter 13 and as cited by Felix. So the end result of everything that happened in verses 1 through 10 was that the work of the Holy Spirit through the disciples, as recorded in verses 1 through 10, is that all who lived in Asia heard the word of the Supreme Yeshua, both Jews and Greeks. They heard it. All. So that's a wonderful thing. This is what happens when people are faithful and are doing things in unity as Elohim required, without contention, without any type of dissension, but it's everyone united in Messiah, knowing he is head, and they're serving together with the big picture in mind, that's Elohim's kingdom, and Messiah is the king of that kingdom. So now let's continue with Acts chapter 19 from verse 11 to 20. And if we could do more, we will. But let's do Acts chapter 19, verses 11 to 20. Verse 11 says, "And Elohim wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and diseases departed from them, and evil spirits went out of them." Verse 13. "Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the eternal of the sovereign Yeshua, saying, we adjure you by Yeshua whom Paul preaches. And there were seven sons of Siva, a Jew and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Yeshua I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. Verse 17. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on all them, on them all. And the name of the sovereign Yeshua was magnified. Verse 18. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of Elohim and prevailed. Okay, let's see what we can find out. So in verses 11 to 12, we see that Elohim performed unusual miracles through Paul. Unusual. What were those? So handkerchiefs or aprons or pieces of cloth that were in Paul's person that he handled were used to heal the sick and cast out demons. It says, so that from his person or his body were brought onto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons. And so diseases were cured by that, and demons were cast out. Evil spirits were cast out. So that's an amazing thing. Let's move on. So it says it's unusual. So we've seen before that the disciples would lay hands or speak, and diseases would be, those who were sick were healed, and those who were demon possessed were set free. And these things were done with those apostles being in the presence of the sick. But here, this implies that Paul was not there. Paul basically was remotely healing people by taking these objects, handkerchiefs or aprons, and then he would send them to the through, I guess, faithful people, through other disciples, to the sick people, and they were healed, to the demon possessed, and they were free. So these are unusual miracles indeed. Let's move on to verse 13 and 16. So Acts chapter 19, verses 13 to 16, we see here what happens. These certain itinerant Jews, they had their own goals. They were exorcists. They took upon them. They were not authorized. When it says they took upon them, in other words, Messiah, Elohim the Father, Messiah the Son, the Spirit, these people were not authorized by Elohim. They took upon themselves to do this. They were not sent by Elohim. And so they evoke, they call upon the name of the sovereign Yeshua, saying, we adjure you, we command you by Yeshua, whom Paul preached. And the response was that the Spirit says, Yeshua, I know, Paul, I know, but who are you? And we know what happened there. They learned the hard way that a person needs to be a true believer and authorized to appropriately call upon the name of Yeshua to do anything, to heal the sick, cast out demons, or do anything. They were not authorized. So what happened? They were beaten by this demonic, demon-possessed person. Beaten. They were overcome by the demon, wounded, stripped of their garments, and they ran out shamefully wounded. Okay? So no one should think we could just take on the call upon the name of Yeshua. No one should think that just by making that phonetic sound, whether Hebrew or in English, saying the Savior, unless a person has true faith, it will avail nothing. Nothing will happen. It will be just a mockery, a misuse of the name, taking the name indeed in vain. That's what will happen. And many are doing that today. Thinking by saying the word in what their idea of Hebrew is, or some version of it in English or some other language, that they could call upon the name and be healed, or heal others, or deliver others. No, it must be done by those who are authorized by Elohim, whom Elohim knows, whom Elohim has ordained to use the name effectively. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus. And fear, respect, reverence came on them all on account of this work. So here in this case, it wasn't the work of the apostles, but it was the work of unauthorized people that brought glory to Elohim. You see how Elohim uses all things? So we must be mindful of that too, that when we see people are misusing the name of Elohim, we should participate in Elohim in prayer that Elohim would bring glory to his name somehow through these things, so that his name would not be so blasphemed, that Elohim would reveal to the world what is true when others misuse his name, as did these seven sons of this high priest called Sceva. So what happened? And we see that as a result, all the Jews and Greeks, also those in Ephesus, learned of this and feared, and the name of the Supreme Yeshua was magnified. Many believed, confessed, and revealed their sins and burnt their books of the magic arts, as we see in through verse 17 through 20. As a result of this, many believe. The name was magnified. Are we seeing the name of our Savior being magnified today? Not very much, because many who are proclaiming his name are not really authorized. They do not have the divine authority. There are merely people, sadly to say, who went to school, earned some degree of divinity from some seminary or other source, and they take on and they proclaim the name, causing more confusion than any good, causing the world to blaspheme more so than to magnify and praise the name of Elohim, more so than to fear. How many in the world do we see show any concern when they hear the name being preached? You know why? Because they don't see the sign of the Spirit. They just hear words upon words. There must be the work of the Spirit. So we must call indeed upon Elohim to give us more than words, but the power of the Spirit, so we can declare what he has done for us, what Elohim has done for us, how he has healed us, how he has helped us to heal others. Okay? Yeah, that is something that is necessary. I personally would not be doing justice to the word if I do not say that Elohim has healed me when I prayed for him of many things. Even till this day, there are things, situations that come up, and I pray, and he heals me or delivers me from them. I have prayed for others, and he has heard my prayer and healed others. Okay, this is the only reason that I'm on the line right now preaching. Were it not for this, I would not be preaching. It is because I have experienced his miraculous power to deliver without the use of medicine. I have, and others can testify on my behalf that these things that I'm saying are true. So this is not because I'm special. No, it's because Elohim is true. If we believe it and seek after it diligently, he will give it to us. But we must seek after him. We must ask for that spirit. We must ask for the gifts. And we must prepare ourselves to receive the gift. We must be fit vessels. If we're living a compromised lives, he will not give us of his spirit. He will not testify on our behalf. Why? Because imagine him causing a miracle to being done by someone who's living a compromised life. And he will not be an instrument to bring blasphemy to his own name. No. His spirit will give glory, will be an instrument to give glory to his name. And that's why those who will receive the spirit will be those who are genuinely repentant of their sins, who keep their baptism pure, and who ask for that spirit. And when we do that, he is faithful. And he will do wonders through us, so that his name will be magnified. So we see through Acts chapter 19, through verse 17 to through 20, so that by the working of the Spirit, whether through the apostles directly or even through those who are false, he causes his name, the name of his Son, to bring glory to him. So the word of Elohim grew and prevailed in Asia, as we see here in Acts chapter 19, as it did in Jerusalem, as we saw back in Acts chapter 12, verses 24. In both of these, in Jerusalem, the word of Elohim prevailed, grew and prevailed. In Acts chapter 12, this is short, so I could go there, just to show you, back in Jerusalem, Acts chapter 12, verses 24 says, But the word grew and multiplied. The word grew and multiplied. Why in the case of chapter 12? Because of the work of the disciples, of the apostles there, yes. And also the deliverance of Peter by the angel. And how Herod blasphemed. You see, he blasphemed. He did, and prior to that did many sins, but that was the last straw. He took the glory that he knew should have belonged to Elohim and took it upon himself. Verse 23 said, and immediately the angel, and this begins from verse 20, but I won't go there. Just verse 23 says, and immediately the angel of the Eternal smote him, because he gave not Elohim the glory, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the spirit. So he was immediately smitten, but his death was not immediately, as other sources say. So it's not his death that was immediate, but he was immediately smitten. And he became a testimony to all of the vengeance of Elohim, for he suffered for a while with this ailment, and he was eaten of worms, and eventually gave up the spirit. He died. And thus the word, it says in verse 24 of chapter 12, thus the word of Elohim grew and prevailed. And likewise we see here the growing. How did it grow? It grew by the works of the apostles, yes. But it prevailed against those who were false. Ah, because you see, Herod was false, and he proclaimed as if he was someone great, but Elohim struck him down. And so the word prevailed against the adversaries. And you see here, the apostles did a great work, and the disciples, Paul as well, especially Paul, did a great work. But then we see false people trying to evoke, trying to use the word of Elohim for their own purpose, for their own itinerary, their own agenda. And Elohim smote them down. And so the word grew through the works of the apostles and disciples, and it prevailed against those who would do, who would misuse the word. So we must be participants of causing the word to grow. But for that, brethren, we must be sincere people. Okay? We must keep our baptism pure. We must ask for the power of the Spirit. And we must pray against the work of darkness. We must pray against the work of darkness. We must not be apathetic to the misuse of Elohim's name, in the name of His Son, the name of His Spirit, the, how He so misrepresented or represented correctly by people who are living a licentious life and do not bring glory to His name, do not show His name in a proper way before the world. Let's pray to receive the Spirit so we can be effectual. Let's pray so we can be united so that the Spirit will coordinate our efforts wherever we are. A coordinated effort is very important. That unity is very important. That word jihad is a very important, or the word synagoge, which is also used to show gathered or unity. We must be united, brethren. That's the first step. But the first step is to gather, to come together, to do what? To ask Elohim to unify us. It's the first point. It's not for us all to agree in everything. That's a false, and that's a lie by those that are trying to keep the people divided, because they speak as if we're supposed to come and be fully united, fully in agreement. No! That is not what the consensus of Scripture shows. The consensus of Scripture shows that the people usually gather in hope of unity, of hope of gaining something from Elohim. Not that they come together already united. No, they come together as a people often is in confusion. As I said before, the people who came out of Egypt, they came on that third day before the mountain as commanded by Elohim through Moses. They came before the mountain. They were not all united about anything, about their various understanding. Some of these people were Egyptians in a mixed multitude from various people. Even the children of Israel were not united. Oh, that's so clear. But they came together to learn from Elohim. And those who were of Elohim were united. So that later on, when the acts of division manifest the golden calf later on, those of you who know the story, Moses says, whoever is on the Lord's side, to come to him. And we know what happened afterwards. So we need to gather, the call that people be gathered. And in that gathering of hope, of learning from Elohim, of being united by the Spirit of Elohim, then we will be united. Because the Scripture says we are to come to the full stature of Yeshua. So it is showing that we are not, it doesn't say we need to agree on everything first. No. What we need to agree on is that Elohim is Elohim, and He has set His Son on His holy mountain, and that we are to go with our various understanding to Yeshua to purify us by His word and so be united by Him, by His Spirit. Thank you for listening, dear brethren.